Well, here's what we're here for today. We are here to honor our beloved Phil and Brenda Rasmussen. Woo! So, yes, yes. And, you know, I have served with them for 5 or 6 years now and just been so impacted personally by their character and their work ethic and their dedication to, as we say all the time, I have heard this nonstop in the last 2 weeks, their dedication to you, their dedication to the students. They're only here for you. And in these last 20 years, that's what they've been here for. And so if you think about the 20 years of service that Phil and Brenda have given to this university, and think about the thousands of lives that that means that they've impacted through every class that's come through Northwest, every person that they've impacted who's impacted other people, there's an incredible ripple effect of their impact that I'm sure we can't even imagine on the side of heaven. But I'm very thankful for them. And what we want to do today is just honor their legacy and honor what they've given to the university and to students and to many other people, honestly, by having a few people share words of blessing, encouragement over them, and let them know how they've impacted their lives. So the way we're going to do that is we're going to bring Phil and Brenda up to the stage and have them come sit here. Have a seat. And we have a few people today who are just going to come up and share. They'll introduce themselves to you, let you know who they are, what their connection is with Phil and Brenda. Hopefully, just as you hear them share, you'll feel the joy of being someone who's obedient to the kingdom of God and seeing how that impacts people for many generations. So the first person I'm going to bring up are the Garzas. Please come on up. Thank you for being here today.
Hello. Hey. This is Manny, and my name is Kayla, and we are NU alum and dear friends. And
what year did you graduate, Kayla?
I graduated in 2012.
Okay. In 2010.
2010.
Yeah. I'm old, man.
It has been a while. We did write down what we wanted to say because every time we talk for 3 hours and we have 5 minutes. So we are going to, we're going to try to keep it as concise as possible. We're honored to be here today to honor some of our dearest mentors and close friends who we really love like family. The impact they have made in our lives has helped shape our lives. We've said this for years, but they are and will always be honorary Garzas. Phil spoke at our wedding. They were at the hospital when our first child was born. They hired us for our first ministry jobs, and they are the reason we are currently serving on staff at Stone Church.
We're not going to be able to finish. You're right. I started back in 2006. That's 15 years ago, man. And it's you guys were here, what, 5, 6 years at that point. And I remember, I was telling Caleb when we were writing this, I remember, you know, coming in as a freshman, you know, you do that whole, I don't know if you guys still do it, the, you know, Fred Meyer thing, and you kind of come back, and then you have your first chapel on that, you know, next Monday, and Pastor Phil got up there and preached, and I'm just like, you know, that's the first time I met Pastor Phil, and what impressed me about Pastor Phil was that on the Wednesday chapel, because we used to do chapels Monday, Wednesday, Friday, holler back, right, old school, when all this was red carpet, and all that, and so on that Wednesday, he remembered my name, and that was awesome, and I just, like, was impacted there, and then the first time I met Brenda, she's going to remember this, because she talks about it all the time, I kind of stopped her down in those stairs right there, and I said, hey, Brenda, I know you direct the Coralons, I want to play bass for the Coralons. She's like, oh, okay, and so...
No. I just told the band this. This is what he did. He walked up to me. I'll put my mask on. He walked up to me and goes, I'm going to play bass for Coralons.
I don't quite remember it that way, but but so it's just, it's the, you know, the, I cannot believe it's been 15 years for me since I started here. And that's kind of where it started, and kind of the rest is history from there.
I remember being in awe of Brenda my freshman year, the sheer speed in which she moves and the amount of things that she could juggle with excellence inspired me. I had always felt called to ministry and music specifically, and I came to NU to learn all I could to grow in those areas. But when my path crossed with Brenda, I knew God had placed me here to learn from her. I walked up to her, a scared freshman, and I said, Brenda, I want to learn all there is to know about what you do and why you do it at school and at church. And that's exactly what I tried to do. And the rest is really history.
Yeah, totally. Through the last 20, 21 years, Northwest, Phil and Brenda have experienced a ton of changes, right? Every 4 years, I got a completely new group of students and dealt with numerous transitions on staff and experienced highs and experienced lows. But the one thing that we talked about that has never changed about them is their deep love and belief in students and their love for the local church. I'm not sure if many of you know this, but Brendan and Phil served, obviously here, but at BCA in Everett for 12 years. And that's kind of where we kind of hung out with them the most as well. And so they did that with the same heart that they did that here as well. Their love for students is what has made them the leaders they are today. Phil, you've done an incredible job representing Northwest University with honor and integrity. And I believe this year you were nationally recognized for that, so that's pretty awesome. Having served both nationally, locally, and at a university in the Assemblies of God, I think their entire married life, we can say their list of achievements is very long. However, we want to talk about who they are as people and what their impact on us has been.
Having moved from students to friends, we can say that Brendan and Phil are full of character, grace, and hope, always calling out the calling in others. Brenda taught me that a leader is only as good as their ability to replace themselves, and they have done that with hundreds of students. Phil and Brenda's love for people is what made them go consistently beyond what their jobs required them to do. They didn't have to invest hours one-on-one with students outside of school. They didn't have to sacrifice every anniversary to take a bunch of students on choir tour. Pastor Phil did not need to drive his personal rig days before choir tour to get all the gear there just in time.
And had an accident, too.
He did get an accident. That's right.
R.I.P. Durango. The white Durango.
And that kind of selflessness and generosity of time and efforts has marked us. Brendan and Phil are people who make moments matter. No one would ever know how busy they are behind the scenes because when they are with you, they make you feel like you matter. Some of Brenda's words that are forever ingrained in my mind are, "You are never too busy to make a memory." That has shaped how I lead and how I parent now with young kids.
Their influence in our lives is reflected in a lot of different ways, but it's especially in the way we work, the way we raise our kids, how we navigate our marriage, and how we lead others. Phil and Brenda, we have watched you forever give your all to ministry while selflessly loving and leading those in your home. I'm never going to forget Pastor Phil, one of the... They're not dying. You're not. This is celebratory. Celebratory. One of the things you told me, and it sticks with me, you know, as a husband and as a father, is everybody in your home is a guest, even your wife. Your impact on us is larger than you'll ever know. And I think everybody here, we aspire to live a life of a legacy. And that I think that's a goal of a life well lived. And again, you're not dying. You're going on. And we can honestly say that Phil and Brenda are leaving a legacy at Northwest University that will live on forever. Mm-hmm. Pastor Phil, Brenda, you have been faithful and you have served well. Now we cheer you on to the next team. We love you.
We're just getting started. Wow. My name is Micah, for you guys who don't know me, and I've known Phil and Brenda. I came here as a student in 2014. Then did 4 years here as a student, and then for the last 4 years I've worked alongside some of the best people that I've come to know and come to work with, and I'll go one at a time because I figured that would be the easiest way to honor you both and keep in the time limit as well. I want to highlight for Phil how much of an incredible man and boss you are. I've had several people that I've been able to work with just in my young 26 years of life, but Phil, I have never had a boss better than you. I've never had someone who has cared as deeply about myself. I know Christian and Megan can attest to every single person that you have overseen, you care for. And I have felt so seen, I have felt so loved, I felt so believed in, and you lead like I want to lead. And you lead as someone who is full of heart and integrity, full of passion and humility and service. And I just want to say thank you for leading for me, for leading my wife and I, for leading this university. If I can, I want to be like you, Phil, as simply stated as I can be. And I just want to say thank you for what have been an incredible, I wish it wasn't ending so fast, but an incredible 4 years of working alongside of you, learning from you. And then on terms of being a man and a husband, my wife and I, Christina, have watched you and I have watched and said to her multiple times, I want to be a husband like Phil. The way that you love Brenda, the way that you lead. Phil, I want to live my life and emulate, and you lead that so well. And I can't say thank you enough. And like Manny said, you're not dying, so I'm going to keep seeing you. But I just, thank you. I just can't say it enough. Thank you for the way that you lead and the way that you represent how to be a man for so many people, and chief among them myself. So I could go on, but thank you. And Brenda, you've, maybe outside of my wife and my parents, you've believed in me more than anybody else. I haven't felt that since day one. I just want to say thank you. I really appreciate it. And I know we're going to see you, and your support and love has meant the world to me. I remember my Coraline's edition, like so many people might remember. I had never sang before. I'm not musical. And I remember, don't play an instrument. I liked to sing, and I remember coming in, and the first time I really started getting to know you, and I don't even remember what I sang. But it was started this moment, and you believed in me and put me in that choir. And it started this friendship and working relationship, and I just want to say thank you. I love you both so much, and I don't want to spend the next minute crying, so I love you so much. Thank you.
As I was sitting here, I thought, with the exception of Kramer, I believe I'm one of the people in this room who has known you the longest. So why doesn't that Benjamin Button thing happen to me that's happening to you? But genetics. But do you realize it was 25 years ago this year that I first met you? You walked into a district youth director's meeting in Springfield, Missouri. And you guys, Brenda looks around, and she kind of has this Dorothy in Oz kind of look, like, Toto, we're not in Seattle anymore. Honestly, I think she was just looking around for a Starbucks, and there were hardly any. So I don't know if you realized you guys were scoping out the land, because about a year or so later, you would move there. And I don't know if you then wanted to tap your heels together and say, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. But I'm here to talk about a time in Phil and Brenda's life when they were a part of the National Youth Department of the Assemblies of God, and I had the joy of working alongside of them. And many of you who have grown up in the AG have heard of this thing called Fine Arts Festival, but you don't realize, because of the work that Phil and Brenda have done, that this program that encompasses more students than any other owes its success to their quiet, hard work. Do you realize over 10,000 students every year participate? And I watch these two lead so well and expand the categories so more instruments, more music, more drama, more visual arts, more writing in English and Spanish, so it would be more inclusive. And I thought it was amazing. But I want to talk about one of those moments, Brenda, because it spoke to me so much. We were sitting in a room like this. It was the chapel at Evangel University, and it was a celebration service where we're supposed to bring up the Award of Merit winners and give them their trophy and have them perform. But Brenda had the idea, why don't we just record a live album while we're at it? And if I'm remembering correctly, can't stop me. If I'm remembering correctly, I think your friend Bernie was playing keys, and so I'm watching Brenda, and she is just seamlessly directing an orchestra, over 100 voice choir, bringing in soloists, stopping everybody in between because it's a live recording. And I was amazed by this. Do you realize that I wore through two of those CDs? Now, let me stop. Gen Z, a CD is a shiny metal disc that's kind of like Spotify or iTunes, but it only records a few songs. No, I destroyed those things listening to them, and I listened to them, and every time I thought, she's a genius. And you hate this kind of thing when anybody points to how incredibly talented you are, but I want you to know you've impressed me from day one. But what's always impressed me more, Brenda, is you're a woman who hears from God. And if we could tell the whole story of how you know Nashville is right, you and I both know you heard from God. And so I got to turn my attention to my brother Phil. Phil, I love you. And I'm going to miss that big smile of yours, even though it's been covered up with a mask for a year and a half. But see, you don't even have to have to be able to see the smile, because his eyes go almost closed when you know he's smiling at you. But I'm going to miss your hugs and your encouragement. I'm going to miss your unflappable demeanor. Nothing ever seems to rattle you or rile you up, and you're just even keel no matter what's going on, and I find that extraordinary. So I was trying to think about someone in the Bible who makes me think of you, and I didn't think of your biblical namesake, Philip. I thought of somebody near Philip, Nathanael. And you know, when Jesus first lays eyes on Nathanael, he says, "Behold, a true Israelite in whom there is no guile." Now, guile is not a word we use very much, but it means craftiness or cunning, treacherous, deception. Phil, it's impossible for you to be deceptive because you have such a pure heart. Like if this were the Knights of the Round Table, you would be Phil the pure heart, right? And I say that funny, but think about this. Because everybody knows I have catchphrases. Come on, somebody. You didn't think I was going to be able to fit that in, but I did. Phil has a catchphrase, too. And it's always, I've heard you say it dozens of times, even in this room, the Lord just dropped something into my heart. And the Lord can only drop something into someone's heart when their heart is pure. And like Brenda, you're humble and unassuming, and you earned this doctorate in ministry, and we talked about your dissertation. The next thing I knew, you had a book contract. Who does that? And who doesn't, like, celebrate it far and wide? But you guys, you're humble and unassuming because you don't want to divert any attention away from Jesus and others. And Brenda, you're going to continue to showcase young people and their talents, and you're going to continue to build life into them and to hear God on their behalf. And Phil, God is going to continue to drop things into your heart for the Belonging Co. And I'm so excited for, I mean, you inspire me. You're like Caleb too. Just, you're going to take the next mountain. I love you. And we're very honored to have called you friends for over 25 years.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kramer, and I am Phil and Brenda's son. And wow, I haven't even said like five words. I'm not emotional. I'm super dramatic. I'm not emotional. If I cry, I apologize. I was thinking on the way here, you know, celebrating 20, almost 21 years of being here at Northwest. And truly, it has been a family venture. And if my sister were here, she would say the same thing. And I was trying to think actually of one of my earliest memories that we had, and it was in this room. It was a chapel service, and I think we were barely like weeks or months into our time here at Northwest. And I'll never forget, I was sitting right over here, and the service was going. We had just done some music, and Dad, you got up to talk and do some announcements or something. And all of a sudden, I started hearing some like whispering coming from the back, as like, you know, when something in a room happens and people start talking and everybody has to turn around and look. And so I remember there was some like whispering and people started laughing and talking in the back. And I remember I turned around and this back door, as I turned around, I will never forget it. This back door, there was a college student who was on a horse, dressed as a cowboy, walked into the chapel on the horse and then down the center aisle. And immediately, in my head, I was like, man, Dad is like really trying to impress like people at his new job. Like, I don't know what's going on. And I remember I turned around and I looked at your face, and your face was just as surprised as my face. And in that moment, I realized this is not supposed to be happening. And it kind of all clicked for me. It was like, this is going to be a really fun job for our family, like all the way through. With that being said, I'm not going to talk long because I will cry. But this has never been a job for the two of you. It's never been, you've never come home and talked about budgets. You've never come home and, you know, talked about the studies and the work and those types of things. But I think the thing that I appreciate about the two of you and that denotes your time here at Northwest and left a mark on me was when you came home, you always talked about the people. You talked about the students. And the thing I loved about, I'm allowed to cry, okay? The thing I loved most growing up was how many students, faculty, staff, constantly in our home, you lived out what you spoke. And that was you loved Jesus and you loved people. And for over 20 years, I got to see that more than anybody firsthand. I learned how to love people, how to work with people, how to help them in their best and worst moments by watching the way that you have loved generations of students. And I think back to, I mean, if the generations of students were sitting here, they would all echo, and I could go through names of people that you, I still walk in the house and mom will be on the phone with a student from 19 years ago that I forgot their name, but mom keeps up with them weekly. Dad, students that you've worked so hard alongside, cars broke down on the freeway, you show up to change a tire, things that nobody ever sees. And I just want you to know that our time here, it wasn't just the two of you, it was our family. And I think the highest compliment that I could give is to say thank you. Thank you for including me. Thank you for leading our family. Thank you for teaching me how to open my heart and to open the doors of now even my home with my wife Kylie and our kids to love anybody who's having the best or worst day. And I couldn't be more excited for the future. I am sad that you're moving, but I'm very excited for this next chapter of you that you get at Polanco. And so this may be the only opportunity I get to say thank you. If Dr. Argyar were here, I'd say thank you to him. Dr. Castleberry sitting on the front row, thank you. as a member of the family, please know that my parents love you dearly, and we owe a lot to the school. And for those of you that are sitting here, forgive me, this is the worst. I'm like ugly crying through the whole thing. You can barely understand me. I promise everything I'm saying is encouraging, and you know. But I do. I love you both very much, and I'm excited for the next chapter. I'm thankful for the years that we got to be a family, leading here and a part of this school. So here is to the next chapter, but again, we celebrate and we honor you today. Love you very, very much.
So Phil and Brenda. Yeah, you did this to me a year ago. So my name's Christian, for those of you who I don't know or don't know me. I came here for a week. We're going to have to do this for a week. Oh, man, 11 years ago, and I have known them in so many capacities. First as people I didn't know at all, but just heard their name as a musician and pastor and professor here. And then over time became people who were my bosses, still people who are my pastors, and then coworkers, and then now just friends. And in so many ways, you were like second parents to me. But now it's like you're some of my best friends. And this is why we read. So been spending weeks trying to think of what to say, and there's too many stories, too many moments, too many memories that could sum up why you've made such an impact, which is probably why really what I have to give is tears. It's just the way of my body saying what so much time has done in me. I don't even live here anymore. I'm like, you're leaving? I don't even live here. I'm gone, and you're still, gosh. It's like, what? There are some people who impact you because of what they've said. I can think of 2011 when I sat in your office, Phil, and we had a really hard conversation that changed my life. Brenda, I can think of all of the moments and classes and walks. There's no one I talk to on the phone longer, or probably more consistently than I talk to you. You're the only person I'll talk on the phone with for more than like 10 minutes. We'll talk for 45 minutes, and I'll be like, I should probably go to my job, you know? But the words you guys have spoken, how many times I probably say within a week, oh, my friends, literally, I'm always qualifying who you are, my pastors, friends, mentors, parent, thing, people, friends once said to me this, like the amount of times I say that within a week to someone. Oh, this is this one thing I learned from what Phil said. This is something Brenda said to me as a leader. Like the amount of things I just say that you said has changed my life. You've shaped the trajectory of my life through my word, through your words. There's some people who impact you because of what they did, though, through their actions. Which is probably why, truthfully, anytime I was in a relationship, I was like, I need them to wait before. Whenever I dated somebody, I was like, I need them to wait before they meet Phil in particular, because if you see Phil as a husband, the bar is way too high. I was like, I don't know that I've ever seen Brenda fill up gas before. I think Phil just does it. Or like I'm like, I don't want people to know that Phil can ride a unicycle and build a house. Like, he can do too many things. He's just too good. I remember one time on the phone, I was talking to Brenda, and you guys were on a trip somewhere, and you were getting ready to go, and you literally were ending the phone call. You're like, I think you might have been in Florida, and you were like, Christian, I'm with Phil right now, and I'm on vacation. I literally just have lipstick and a phone. I don't know where I am or where I'm going. I'm just with Phil. Like, he takes care of it. He's got it. But I can tell stories of the generosity that you've shown me with finances or time, or when I was a freshman here and I couldn't afford my phone bill, and you were the first person to just out of nowhere try to secretly do it, and I figured it out, but that's who you were. I could name the ways that you've showed love and mercy and forgiveness and grace to countless students that was so undeserved. Like the way they talk about you as students, and the way you've talked about hundreds, thousands of students behind their backs as like you see who they're becoming and you're willing to go through the long process to go, you know what, like that way that even when students, I mean, let's, come on, 21, like students treat people poorly. And the ways that people have talked poorly about you, especially students and things they've done stuff, and the way you've just seen who they can become and willing to stay, like your actions of love and grace and mercy and kindness and forgiveness. The times you've chosen the high road where you had no reason to, except like that's the sort of people you are. You've chosen the high road. The ways that you literally like died to yourself to see that other people would live. People are changed by your actions. There are some people who are impacted because of the way you make them feel. You've already heard that, but I don't think, Brenda, even being in Coraline's yesterday, the bassist got this part, and you're like, everyone look at, find a bass near you, find a bass, and just tell them they're awesome, give them a high five. Like, the way you constantly call people into hire and make them feel good, you make people feel like they could charge hell with a squirt gun. Like, that's the sort of person you are. And Phil, the way you make people feel empowered and loved. I'm not even doing that. Saint Teresa of Avila said, acquire a spirit of peace and 1,000 souls around you would be saved. And you have done that. You both have done that. Some people are impacted by the things that you say or the things you do or the way that you make them feel, but you can't do that for 20 years. Like 20 years, day in and day out, semester in and semester out. Student in and student out, problem in and problem out for 20 plus years. That's just not good things that you do or nice things that you say or the way you make people feel. There are a few people who impact you by something that's so different. It's hard to put a finger on it because it's so visible that it often remains unseen. It's all the unseen prayers, the ways you stayed cool, the ways you showed up in the middle of the night, the ways you helped me build two different apartments and homes, the painful, slow parental love, the personal sacrifice, the forgoing your reputation, the willingness to endure, the ways you chose to be bigger, the moments you allowed God to vindicate you, the blessing and not cursing, the letting God be the one who heals, all the unseen things. It's like Jesus who says in Matthew 6 that when you do acts of righteousness, to not do it to be seen by others, but do it to be seen by God. What has changed people, Phil and Brenda? What has changed this place, what has changed so many people, and what's changed me is who you are. Like, simply at the core, you can't fake who you are for 20 years. You can say nice things, and you can do good things, you can make people feel good for 20 years. It's who you are, at the depths of who you are. John Maxwell says that as leaders, we may teach people what we know, but we reproduce who we are. So, and I know that I'm the leader, the pastor, the future husband, the future parent, the Jesus follower today because of who you are, not just because of what you said or what you did or how you made people feel. And I just want to keep saying it, the depths of who you are as people. And I'm just one among literally thousands. And I was thinking about you this morning, thinking about all the people that didn't get Jesus, they didn't understand him. They have God in flesh walking right by him. They have everything they need right in front of him. They didn't understand him. And I just wonder if there were people who 30 years later realized like what was standing right next to them. And I think that'll be often your story. There'll be, for as many hundreds of thousands of thank yous that you'll get, I bet there's another 10,000 people who will wake up 30 years later and realize who was standing next to them. We honor you today because you have been, as Jesus said, a good tree and produced good fruit in and out of season over longevity. When I was a little boy, my dad called me a leader of leaders. And that's always been a mantra of mine. Son, you're a leader of leaders. You lead leaders, not just people, you lead leaders. But I remember years ago that shifting when I met you because you showed me what a leader of leader was. Paul said it like this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Jesus made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. Jesus said that the greatest among you is a servant. Phil and Brenda, you are great. You've been faithful with the little. And the beautiful thing is, most people want to be faithful with the little because they want to be made rulers over much, and that's not Jesus' point. Jesus' point is just be faithful with the little. And you've been faithful with the little. no ambition, no guile, no clawing and climbing, just faithful with the little. You've taken Jesus' words seriously. And so to you, I just want to say, well done. Good and faithful servants. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, here we are again. And we'll just keep doing this, and I'll keep coming up with something more or less different to say each time. But, you know, we just hate to do this. We just hate to say goodbye to you in any way. But at least we get to do it in a way in which we demonstrate our great appreciation for you. There's a doctor. I'm a theologian, right? So you expect me to say something theological, right? So there's this doctrine called the communicatio idiomatum. And it means that the dual natures of Christ are so perfectly united that whatever you can say about the one can be said about the other. You can't separate the divine nature of Jesus from the human nature of Jesus. They're perfectly welded together. In hypostatic union, as the theologians said more than a thousand years ago. So the thing about the communicatio idiomatum, it isn't true of any perfect human union other than Jesus, but goodness, you guys come awfully close. You know, we talk about the phenomenon of philando or brill. You know, it's whatever one is doing, the other's helping with. You know, you guys are the ultimate ministry team. You're the ultimate parenting team. You're the ultimate friendship team. Whatever you do it together. It's not true that whatever can be said about the one can be said about the other, because you know obviously Brenda has much more musical talent than Phil does, and you know, and Phil preaches more than she does. I don't know if he's a better preacher than she is, but he does it more. But you know, the thing is, there's plenty of differences between the two of you. You have different talents, but you bring them together in such perfect unity that it's impossible to think about Phil without thinking about Brenda. It's impossible to think about Brenda without thinking about Phil. You're always complimenting each other. You're always right there filling up the gap, and we admire you so greatly. You know, I always knew that eventually you would leave me. I didn't bring you here. You were here when I came, and I decided pretty quickly to keep you. And I always knew you would leave before me, because you're smarter than I, you're wiser than I am, and you won't work as long as I will. I mean, there'll be a time when you'll say, "Okay, this is enough. You know, we've got other things to do." You'll do that before I will. And I always knew you would leave before me. And I always dreaded it. I always knew that I wouldn't know what to say when that happened, and it's true still. Yet, in the attempt to say something, I'll just say this, that you guys, you know, if you look back in dictionaries from the late 1970s, and you look under the word cool, you'll see a picture of Brenda on some pages and Phil in other dictionaries. It's, you know, they were just the definition of cool. They were cool when they were young, they're cool when they're middle age, and they're cool now. And you might say that now is a really relevant concept to them. They're always in the now, they're always au courant. They're cool, they're hip, they're stylish, they are up to the moment, they are chevy. What any language you want to say it in, they are the essence of cool. They've always been cool. Don Argue brought you here because you were cool. You were national youth leaders. You were doers. You were movers. You were shakers. But movers and shakers wasn't good enough. You had to be cool, because he really wanted campus pastors that would understand students. It would be up to the minute, up to date. You've managed to stay that way all these years. And the funny thing is, most times when you get rid of a campus pastor, it's because they've kind of aged out.
You know, they kind of don't really get young people anymore, and so you kind of have to move them off the scene and bring in a younger person who can understand young people. You're not leaving because you stopped being cool. You're just leaving because the coolest church in America invited you to come join them. So, you know, it's so you guys will go on from cool to cooler, and you know, and we just admire you so. And so I'm going to ask Clint to bring up a couple of plaques that demonstrate what I've been talking about in talking about the idioma, the communicatio idiomatum. The plaques say the same thing, but they say them to each of you. I thought about giving you one plaque, and then I decided that wouldn't be fair because Brenda will have an office and you'll have an office, and we want in your office there to be some public recognition of how much we value each of you. And this one says, Northwest University honors Brenda Rasmussen for 20 years of spirit-empowered, life-transforming, world-changing leadership, care, and inspiration in our Christ-centered community, 2001 to 2021. Brenda, thank you. God bless you forever. Yeah, we love you. And Phil, I will, for the moment, give you this. You'll have to give it right back so I can give it to you again next hour. But it says the same thing. Northwest University honors Phil Rasmussen for 20 years of spirit-empowered, life-transforming, world-changing leadership, care, and inspiration in our Christ-centered community, 2001 to 2021. My fingerprints are on it. And thank you. God bless you. I'll take it back. Yep. And if you want to come take these, yeah, absolutely. God bless you, and I'll invite Brenda to speak now.
Perfect. You know, I wrote down some things to say today, and then as I was listening, I don't know if I'm going to cry today simply because I have cried so much behind the scenes. And I think what Christian was saying is my tears come out of the difference it's going to be in relationship. And for 20 years, I wake up in the morning 5 days a week, and when Coralon's is traveling, 6 days a week, and I drive and I pull in right here, and I think to myself, I get to work with students all day long. And there isn't a day that I don't feel like I have the luckiest job on the planet Earth. I can genuinely say that. I don't ever complain. Maybe the schedule's busy, but the people that I get to be around. And so there were just three areas that I wanted to just highlight today. I'm not going to highlight Coralon's because I'm going to do that on Friday night, and that's been a big part of my journey here at Northwest, but I'm going to talk about that Friday night at the concert. But ladies, I just want to just say to you, 10 years ago, we were in an office, Jen Garza and I, and we were talking about the women of Northwest University, and we were just talking about what we could do to share with each other, and so we created Chick Chat, and we said we need to have a place where it's just super casual, where anybody can come and just chill, but we can talk openly and honestly. And I will just say that that has been a highlight for me all of these years, as ladies coming together in our sweats and donuts. But I just want to just say this to you ladies. If you came to Chick Chat, you always knew that while we listened to a speaker and we talked, at the end we prayed. And I always felt that that was most important. And I want to just say to you ladies, I think we need to stick together and love one another. But at the end of all of our conversations, let's have a conversation with God, because that's where we really saw miracles and things change, is when at the very end of that. Second of all, I want to talk about chapel. I told Phil, I said, we should get a calculator out, because up until 3 years ago, Phil was here six chapels a week and pursuits. So seven times a week he was here, and I was here three times. So we sat there. I mean, we literally sat there thousands of times. And I know for many of you, you're like, chapel, I'm busy, I have classes. But I just wanted to say this to you. Do you realize that with the exception of just a few staff, that all of the chapels that you come to, all of the work is done by volunteers, and that's you. Like, I don't know if you were at Christmas Pursuit and you saw the lighting cues that were all happening. That was a student. That wasn't some church with a $65,000 salary where they were paying people. That were students that are making all the PowerPoint. There's students that are running sound. There's students leading worship. And I just think when you come into this place, and I remember I would sit here and some, I was like you sometimes going, okay, chapel. But then I said to myself, wait, I get to just come here and worship for an hour in the middle of my day? I just get to sit here and worship and listen to somebody speak? So I would just say this to you. I just want to say thank you. I think I woke up today just, I was going to invite the tech team, but just the hours that's all student led. That's you guys doing that. That's not hired some big church people. All the faculty and staff that preach, they do something else, but they just want to come here and be a part of this. And all of the worship, the hours, that's you guys, that students. So I think when you come to chapel and you come to seek God, just look around you, because that's your friends and your peers that are doing all of this work. It's not hired people. And last but not least, I think it's been said, the thing that I have loved about Northwest and the thing that I'm deeply going to miss, I forgot to start with this, so let me back up and start with this. I would be remiss to not say thank you, Dr. Castleberry. I've said this to you and the other, in the staff and faculty. Phil and I have felt your love and support. And we know that there have been even times in the past few months where there might have been some difficult things, but we have genuinely felt your love and support for us. And I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. We say that behind closed doors, and so thank you. And to the staff and to the faculty, I see Rolanda and Cher. I could go through, and there's staff members that are here. I just deeply, deeply love all of you very much. I deeply, deeply love you. But I do love students. And I think the thing that I love the most is somebody said to me, you know, what kind of students do you look for at Northwest University? And I go, what do you mean, what kind of students do we look for? Because how many of you have walked in your freshman year in the fall and you're crying and you're homesick and you're, I don't know what I'm going to study. I'm not declaring a major. What am I going to study? Do I want to study? I'm failing. I'm not passing. Ready to give up, but you push on. And then I see you 4 years later in a cap and gown walking across the platform. And I'm in Ellensburg where my 16-year-old daughter struggles with asthma. I'm going to pull over by the freeway and I walk in. And somebody walks up behind me and says, hi, Brenda. And it's a nurse who graduated from Northwest University. And so I want to just say this to you students. The unique thing about Northwest, and don't take it for granted, I say this every Northwest Friday, I believe in Jesus and education. I believe those two things go together. So I think that Christians should have the highest GPA of any university. But I also would just say to you, love Jesus. I've lived a lot of life, and you've heard people say some beautiful things to us today. But I can just tell you the only way that we've been able to do that is by loving Jesus and knowing that he is at the center of our lives. And so that is my encouragement to you. Thank you. I talked too long.
Sorry. Wow. Thank you, Brenda. Emma, is there anything after me? Okay. I'm looking at the clock. And I'm trying to be careful. We're going to go over a little bit, if that's okay. So I have lots of memories in this room. Kramer, it's so funny that you told that story, because that's one memory that still is unbelievable, to watch that white, I'm not kidding, full stallion come in the back of the chapel. And it was Rumi's night out is what it was. And people were supposed to ask another person for a date. And a guy stood up on a chair in that chapel at the very beginning. This was crazy. And he yells out to a young lady, if you will go on a date with me, please mount my stallion. I'm not kidding you. That's exactly what they said. And we're trying to start chapel. It was a special moment. She did get on the horse, and they went exited that way. I have so many memories in this room. I remember a chapel service. We were doing an unplugged worship set, and the worship they started, it was unplugged. So that means like no drums. It's just, you know, guitar. And a student in the balcony felt like it was his turn to audition for drums. And he got up from the balcony, walked all the way down, got on the drum set, and started playing with the unplugged worship team. And we're all looking at going, dude, you don't even play the drums. What are you doing? It was a special moment. Or the time that we had concert choir singing a special song that morning, and concert choir came marching in from the back, made this grand entry. They came up to get onto the risers to sing. Professor Bill Owen is about to direct the choir, and as they're marching up to the stage, a young man thought he would join the choir. He had never been in a rehearsal. He wasn't in a robe. He was in jeans and a t-shirt, and he gets up, and he goes into the line, stands up, and he did Watermelon Cantaloupe the whole time they sang. Didn't know the words. Bill Owen is just looking at him going, what in the world is this guy doing in the choir? And I had to get up after that, and I go, I'm sorry, but I think there was a guy in the choir that really needs a mentor. Could somebody please help him? I mean, it was a special moment. Lots of wonderful memories. My favorite memories, obviously, are the number of students that were baptized in water in this room. And I, almost every time, we would see students that would get up and even unplanned, just because the Spirit of God was moving in their heart. Students that were baptized in the Holy Spirit, even Christmas Pursuit, Micah, you led so, it is so incredible. The students and people that were in the room that rededicated their lives to Christ, powerful moment. I'm going to take a couple of minutes. I'm going to do something I've never done in here before, because this might be the last time I get to share in this way, and I'm going to let you in on a little personal exercise of my own. Is that cool? So take a seat, which you already are sitting. So I'd say that for myself. Oh, I put my back out yesterday, so that hurt. Moving the Coraline's trailer. Pray for me. I'm not kidding, actually. I'm going to walk you through this, so bear with me for a moment. You know, there's several phrases in the Bible that are powerful, but I think the four words, teach me to pray, most important, not most important, of the most important. And if there's anything that I would hope for you as you continue to lead your life is that you would know what it is to pray and to connect with Jesus in a special way. I've said this a few times, but if you looked at my calendar, you would see that at 7 o'clock every morning, I have an appointment with Jesus, and I don't miss it. Most important moment of my day. And that starts with this. So sit in your chair, feet on the floor, make yourself comfortable. Hands on your knees. If you'd like to turn them over, you can, as an expression of welcoming Jesus, who he is. You don't have to. And if this is weird to you, just listen to what I'm saying. And I'll kind of talk this through with you as I'm going, and I'll try not to make it as long as I do it for myself, but just to kind of give you an idea. James 5 tells us very clearly that Jesus went off to a solitary place. He found a place to quiet himself, whether it was the wilderness or some other place, garden. He found a place to quiet himself with the Father. I want you to take a deep breath and let it out slowly. Do that again. Just relax yourself. Relax your mind. This is my first thought before the Lord. You can pray this. You don't have to do it out loud, but something like this on a regular basis would be helpful for you. Jesus, there's a lot of crazy in the world. lot of things going on that I don't understand. I know you have it under control. But if there's any way that you can use me, I'm here to help. And I'm willing. That's my opening prayer. And then the next few moments, things that I go through look like this. Who you are to me, that statement. Who you are to me. Jesus, you're Lord. You're my Savior. You're my King. You know all things. You're all powerful, all present. In every way, in every shape, you're with me every moment of my day. Who you are to me. And then take another breath and let it out slowly. After who you are to me, it's forgive me. And that looks like this. Lord, forgive me the things that I've said or done, thoughts that I've had, people I've hurt, whether I knew it or not. And Lord, may I also forgive even the people throughout this day that might even potentially offend me. Help me to forgive them even now and walk in a spirit of forgiveness. But forgive me most, because I come up short. Forgive me. After it's forgive me, it's show me. Show me. Show me, Lord, show me things in my life that I'm not aware of. Things in my personality. Things that I need to change. Open my mind. Lord, help me to love people more. Help me to have more patience and more peace and more kindness. Help me to suffer long. Help me to be more aware of people and their needs. Show me. Show me who I am and what needs to change in my life. Show me. After it's show me, it's teach me. Teach me. And that looks like this. Lord, in just a moment, I'm going to open your word. Teach me. Teach me a truth today. Remind me of something in your word that I need to know. To make me walk closer to you. Teach me. Teach me. And then after teach me, this is the last one, and it's a big one. I take a deep breath. Let it out. After teach me, it's use me. Jesus, use me. There's going to be difficult conversations today. Use me to bring peace. There's going to be people that I don't even know. Use me to make them feel good about themselves. Help me to go beyond my comfort zone. Take my weaknesses and make them strong, because your spirit is in me. Use me. Use me. And Lord, wherever you'd like me to go, wherever you'd like me to go, say whatever you'd like me to do, use me. And then I end with this prayer. Lord, there's crazy things in the world. There's things that I don't understand. I know you have it all under control. You know all things. And if you need my help, I'm available. Amen.